It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valatie.
Valatie.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to hear?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we'll hear all sorts of songs and sounds and stories, including about Catskill activist Scott Myers, who was murdered over the weekend. We'll tune in 2018 WGXC interview with Myers, the week the Greene County Legislature Committee shot down the idea of sharing a jail with Columbia County, and the week a state report said that the Greene County Jail is one of the five worst in the state. Myers was a former local prisoner in that jail and was an outspoken advocate against building a new jail and spending taxpayer money on it. We'll also hear a little bit from President Joe Biden about the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 and what it might mean locally. Plus, we'll hear all sorts of new music and more, including the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network.
This is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network.
Runs through.
This is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network, network. This is the news.
Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists are hosting a Meet the Labor Movement in the Hudson Valley Zoom event on Tuesday, December 7th, with local union representatives including Beth Wilson, Brian Nelson, Sarah Dowd, Ashwini Sukanthankar, and others. There's RSVP online. It's one of the many events in the community calendar at WGXC.org. You can find out more information there about the Meet the Labor Movement event, Tuesday, December 7th, online from the Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026. Or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Attorney General Letitia James' office on November 29th released more transcripts that were part of the investigation into former Governor Andrew Cuomo, and they show his staff repeatedly working to attack the women making sexual harassment claims against him. The newly released public information shows his brother, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, forwarded documents to a Cuomo advisor about one woman accuser, Charlotte Bennett, pertaining to her time in college. Cuomo aides also leaked personnel files to the media about Lindsay Boylan, one of the first women to make her allegations public. And Jim Malatras, who was appointed by Cuomo as SUNY chancellor, is quoted in documents telling one of the alleged victims of sexual harassment that she should go, quote, F herself. Cuomo, meanwhile, denied playing any role in responding to the sexual harassment allegations. Quote, no one ever suggested that we were doing it or would do it, unquote, he said. Quote, so no, unquote. Read more about the story at New York State of Politics.
Diane Pinero Zucker reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Sheriff's Office disciplinary records for 2019 and 2020 show 20 separate incidents ranging from harassment to insubordination by corrections officers, deputies, and other employees. Ulster County Sheriff Juan Figueroa said, and I quote, I think 20 in almost 3 years is a lot. It shows that when people make complaints that we look at it. There aren't any egregious complaints, but nonetheless, they are complaints. These things happen in every organization. End quote. In one incident, former deputy Daniel Kopeck allegedly used an agency-issued baton and firearm to threaten an unarmed guest at his home on December 9, 2019, after drinking alcohol at a party he hosted. Figueroa said, and I quote, he resigned because he probably was going to get fired, end quote. Figueroa said in 2020, Deputy Anthony Scarcelli was investigated for another off-duty incident, allegedly harassing a neighbor and I quote, overstepping his bounds, end quote. Scarcelli was docked 3 vacation days for intimidating his neighbors who were setting off legal fireworks. On the clock, Deputy Brian Waltman was found to have used, and I quote, excessive force, end quote, while detaining a suspect, and deputies Michael Rizzo and John McGuire demonstrated, and I quote, unprofessional behavior, end quote. Rizzo was recorded on a video saying, and I quote, why don't you take her over to Poughkeepsie and throw her off the bridge, end quote, and McGuire was recorded saying, and I quote, drop her off on the side of the road for all I care, end quote. Also, corrections officer Carell Salters was accused of, and I quote, unnecessary excessive force and other potential policy violations, end quote, against an inmate, and Robin Andrews was found to have violated policy by allowing the inmate a phone call and not handcuffing him to his bed. Corrections officer Jared Spiegberg was issued a warning for a pattern of, and I quote, unprofessional, inappropriate comments, end quote. Figueroa said he uses, and I quote, progressive discipline, end quote, to address most disciplinary problems. He said, and I quote, if you violate one of the policies, it gets documented, evaluated, and trained. But if it happens again, it gets more severe. If it happens another time, you're probably going to get terminated depending on the severity of the case, end quote. He added, and I quote, training is key because you can refer to that when anything happens. Is that how you were trained to do it? No, it's not. And looking at your record and what you did in the past now, there's a more heftier penalty, which could include termination, end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a fast-moving fire destroyed the Catterskill Inn, popular wedding venue and bed and breakfast, said Kiskatom Fire Chief Pete Kosminski on November 28th. There was nothing left of the inn by the end of the day, the chief said. At about 12:26 p.m., the fire company was dispatched by Greene County 911 after receiving multiple reports of a structure fire on the second floor of the main building. When the first firefighters arrived minutes later, flames were shooting through the roof of the converted barn, and the fire spread quickly to all parts of the building, Kosminski said. Guests at the inn were able to evacuate safely before crews arrived. The fire burned for several hours through the afternoon. Kosminski said extensive modifications to the building thwarted firefighters in their effort to access certain areas. Central Hudson Gas and Electric responded to disconnect the power, and High Falls Road extension was closed to traffic while crews worked. The thick black smoke from the fire could be seen from miles away. An investigation found the fire started accidentally when logs from a fireplace were left on a porch, Kosminski said. There were no reported injuries to firefighters. The destroyed main building housed 6 guest suites. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that Scott Myers,
known locally as a critic of the building of a new Greene County jail, was found murdered in Catskill on November 27th. State police charged Carrie E. Weiser, 32, of Catskill with second-degree murder, and she was sent to the new Greene County jail building. Myers posted often on social media about the cost to taxpayers of the new Greene County jail, also speaking at meetings and on local radio and writing letters to newspapers. In 2019, the Register Star reported that the, and I quote, Catskill resident and staunch anti-jail advocate Scott Myers filed a lawsuit involving the construction of the new Greene County jail, end quote. Here is Myers speaking to the Greene County Legislature in 2018 about the jail proposal.
You don't have the money, and you don't have the need, and you're out of line in terms of your approach to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They are not going to give you the money because you haven't done the shared study. They're not going to let you move the sheriff's office out of Catskill because County Law 217 says you can't. And if you think I'm being annoying, I'm sorry.
Police said Myers and Weiser knew each other, but released few details. This is the third murder in Greene County this year, while there has not been a murder in the county since 2018. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper that an announcement is expected November 30th from Heck Cuddy Energy about a plan to further reduce the size of its proposed Shepherd's Run solar facility in Craryville. The announcement is expected during an in-person open house at the Hillsdale Firehouse. Copaic Deputy Town Supervisor Richard Wolf has been reporting for several months that Hakati officials are talking about shrinking the project area for the 60-megawatt industrial-sized solar facility. Hakati, a developer of solar and wind facilities and energy storage projects, first proposed to site its 200,000 solar panel installation on 500 acres at several sites along State Route 23 and County Route 7 in and around Copaic hamlet of Craryville. Wolf reported at the November 11th Copaic Town Board meeting, the most recent estimate for the project was down to 208 acres. Quote, although generating capacity remains the same at 60 megawatts, the inside-the-fence acreage is now well less than half of what Hakati originally sought when it unveiled Shepherd's Run in January 2020. This is encouraging, but more needs to be done, unquote, Wolf said. Public information session will be held at from 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, November 30th at the Hillsdale Firehouse on State Route 22. Hakati representatives and consultants will be present to answer questions and discuss the updated layout for Shepherd's Run and more. Information is available at shepherdsrunsolar.com. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Masara Makati reports in the Times Union that Albany County announced another new COVID-19-related death on November 29th as case counts and hospitalizations rise to last winter's levels. There were 75 more coronavirus cases announced November 29th in Albany County and 53 county residents hospitalized due to COVID-19. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "The alarming trend of increasing hospitalizations continues today, exceeding the levels last seen at the end of February," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "Between what we are seeing here locally and the news that the Omicron variant has been detected in a growing list of countries around the world, including Canada, it's critical that we all remain vigilant and take the proper precautions we know are effective," end quote. Albany County has not had this many hospitalizations since February 25th. McCoy said last week that an indoor mask mandate in Albany County may come if case counts surge after Thanksgiving. McCoy said, and I quote, "If it's really at the point where we're in the critical zone, yeah, you'll see me sometime next week," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Masara Makati is reporting for the Times Union that after more than a year of discussion about the possible merger of St. Peter's Health Partners and Ellis Medicine, the two healthcare organizations have announced plans to join in a management services agreement. Ellis and St. Peter's issued a joint press release November 29th, announcing they had received approval from the State Department of Health to combine and collaborate their services for the next 2 years. Under the agreement, Schenectady-based Ellis Medicine will remain independent from Albany-based St. Peter's, which is owned by the national company Trinity Health. Ellis's board of trustees will retain local control, and two St. Peter's executives will join Ellis's senior leadership team. The goal is to officially merge the two organizations at the end of the two-year term. Quote, partnering with Ellis on this agreement is the natural evolution of our already strong relationship and will allow us to expand and enhance the availability of high-quality healthcare services in the capital region, unquote, said James Reed, president and CEO of St. Peter's. Some of the anticipated changes from merging services have raised concerns in the community. Paul Milton, Ellis CEO and president, said at a Schenectady City Council committee meeting in August that abortions would no longer be performed under the merger. Quote, you need to comply with the ethical and religious directives of a Catholic organization, unquote, he said at the time. In the press release Monday, Milton noted, quote, we anticipate the community will see more and even better care as a result of this partnership, unquote. He said that no reproductive services will be affected by the agreement, but that abortions will no longer be provided by Ellis if the merger takes place in 2 years. With the management services agreement, the focus will be on improving information technology, patient experience, quality improvement, and more. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, partly sunny, but the temperature high near 38 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, with a temperature low of around 29. And on Wednesday, partly sunny, with a high near 42 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of snow showers after 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy, with a temperature low of around 32 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
You've tuned in to All Sorts of Creative Community Radio on Tuesday, November 30th at WGXC, including at 10 a.m., we'll hear from Columbia County poet Karen Schomer, some of her poetry, some of her music from her band Sky Furrows, on St. Rocco's broadcast for the Dispossessed from Alex Baggett in Albany. 11 a.m., we'll hear from Pauline Oliveros, the legendary Hudson Valley composer. Also, Thorsten Hawkson, Arnie Melnes, among others, are featured on the Early Electro Mix show at WGXC. Then we'll hear new music after the local news at noon from Riley Walker, Kate LeBon, Endless Boogie, and others. Hop Labonte explains about urban composting at 6 p.m. on the All Together Now show. And Sam Sebrans from Athens hosts the Nothing Is Real radio hour at 7 p.m. Then at 8 p.m. on All Mixed Up, tune in to Spike Jones, David Frischberg, Warren Zavon, and others on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Oh My. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. If you can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Oh My and on the radio at WGXC, Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Omai. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. Can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Omai and on the radio at WGXC Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, November 30th. A lot of meteorologists consider tomorrow to be the beginning of meteorological winter. This is just something that lets them neatly group seasons into solid blocks of months. Sure, it's easier to hold the concepts in your head, but I consider it quite inaccurate, especially for this region. We are still in the last stages of fall. The real cold and snow are still to come. Trust me. Earlier this morning, we see 20 degrees in New Baltimore and 24 degrees in Winchell. Winds kick up after 10 a.m., making it a cold day, with highs reaching 36 degrees at 2 p.m. Overnight will drop to 29 degrees and winds relax before Wednesday arrives, giving us a high of 42 degrees around 1 p.m. Wednesday night, temperatures drop to 35 degrees, and a little snow will fall before turning to rain and lasting all day Thursday, which will have a high of 47. That rain will taper off just before midnight, and temperatures will drop to 34 degrees. So far, it just looks like it's going to be wet, but if temperatures shift downward, it could change to snow. We will be keeping an eye on it. Friday will be dry with a high of 41 degrees. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:30 a.m., high tide at 11:13 a.m., low tide again at 5:59 p.m., and high tide again at 11:21 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 40 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:12 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7 o'clock a.m. Looking way up, we see the Andromedid meteor shower is upon us, expected to last another few days to a week. And a dark filament on the sun erupted yesterday, and its main expulsion is expected to miss our planet, but NOAA staff are watching it for changes. Solar wind speed is currently 332 kilometers per second at 6.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible for daytime, okay for nighttime. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 47. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dr. Stephen D. Brown of Stuyvesant, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is really me now. No more hiding. Listen, we're all worried. We're all in pain. That comes with having eyes, with having ears. But just remember one thing. It can't get any worse. It can only get better. Quitting is not going to make you strong. Living will. So just hang on. And hang in there. You know, I know all about the hating and the sneering. I'm a member of the Why Bother generation myself. But why did I bother to come out here tonight? And why did you? I mean, it's time. It begins with us, not with politicians, the experts, or the teachers, but with us. With you and with me, the ones who need it most. I believe, with everything that's in me, that the whole world is longing for healing. Even the trees, and the earth itself are crying out for it. You can hear it everywhere. It's the same kind of healing I desperately needed, and finally feel has begun with you.
gallows outside my cell. I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal. I got 23 minutes to go. But nobody asked me how I feel. I got 22 minutes to go. Well, I sent for the governor and the whole darn bunch with 21 minutes to go. And I sent for the mayor, but he's out to lunch. I got 20 more minutes to go. Then the sheriff said, boy, I'm gonna watch you die. Got 19 minutes to go. So I laughed in his face and I spit in his eye. Got 18 minutes to go. Now here comes the preacher for to save my soul with 13 minutes to go. And he's talking about burning, but I'm so cold. I got 12 more minutes to go. Now they're testing the trap and the chills my spine with 11 more minutes to go. And the trap and the rope, oh, they work just fine. Got 10 more minutes to go. Well, I'm waiting for the pardon that'll set me free with 9 more minutes to go. But this is for real, so forget about me. Got 8 more minutes to go. With my feet on a trap and my head in the noose, got 5 more minutes to go. Won't somebody come and cut me loose? Got 4 more minutes to go. I can see the mountains, I can see the sky, 3 more minutes to go. And it's too darn pretty for a man to want to die. I got 2 more minutes to go. I can see the buzzards, I can hear the crows. 1 more minute to go. And now I'm swinging and here I go.
Catskill activist Scott Myers was murdered over the weekend, and he was best known locally for his opposition to the Greene County Jail and building a new Greene County Jail. Ended up being a Coxsackie. He wanted to keep the jail in Catskill that was more than 100 years old and where he had spent time himself. Here's a brief excerpt of Catskill's Scott Myers speaking on the WGXC morning show in the year 2018, the week the Greene County Legislature Committee shot down the idea of sharing a jail with Columbia County, and the week that a state report also said that the Greene County Jail is one of the 5 worst in the state. All right, on the phone now is Scott Myers, a Catskill activist who's been very interested in the Greene County Jail issue. And the Greene County Jail came back in the news this week with 2 big news stories.
The idea of justice is, of course, something everybody should be interested in, but also how much money is being spent and whether it's effective. I tabled the jail bond in February. It was a good thing. It came within minutes. William Lawrence, for some reason, from Cairo, is the representative, and he responded by tabling it when I put posters on everybody's desk at the legislator meeting, stop Greene County Jail. And I had a very simple spreadsheet that said you were proposing $54 million, and no one did the math, 2.75% interest over 30 years means $90 million. And they had no justification. And the many problems of law enforcement in Greene County are showing up. So we paused And to their credit, we created an alternative to incarceration committee, had about 15 people on it, and they met every week. Lori Torgelson, fortunately, who only won by 2 votes in Wyndham, quite talented, has a PhD in psychology, runs a couple of mountain bike rental shops up on the mountain, but also has 20 years experience in criminal justice. I mean, to find an expert like that available and someone who is a actual legislator empowered to, you know, vote on our behalf was, a blessing. There's no other way to say it. But we had the district attorney, Joe Stanzione, and the public defender, Angelo Scaturo. We had people from Twin Counties that does the rehab for drug and alcohol. Green County, by the way, as you probably know now, is the worst in the state in terms of opioid addiction. And we looked at how do we handle our people? You know, how are we operating as a county? Are we spending our money wisely? So Monday, anyway, we were going along on this potential alternative. After the Alternatives to Incarceration Committee finished, they prepared 3 options. Option A was to follow the original idea and build in Coxsackie with land that was donated by the state. And that was $90 million with interest. And the second option was to rebuild on site in Catskill, where the current jail is, which is behind the sheriff's office on Brick Street, right in town. Most people don't even know it's there, even though they walk past it. But it holds 54 people. It's decrepit. The thing hasn't been maintained.
It was built in 1908, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mind telling people, partly because the cases were reversed on appeal. I was in that jail over a year, so I'm speaking from very, very firsthand knowledge, which is not hearsay. So, and I'm not a criminal. So I have a legitimate observation that's detailed. And one of the problems, of course, is legislators have probably never served a day in that jail or any jail, and they've probably never experienced a criminal trial. I defended mine as my own attorney successfully. So they haven't gone up against the system to actually have a sense of it. And we've had problems in Greene County. Fargo was sent to federal prison for bribery on the bench, our Supreme Court judge, et cetera, et cetera. And nobody's really taking ownership of it. This alternative to incarceration was an opportunity to actually get down into the dirt with talent. Beth was really amazing from Twin Counties, and she's been receiving federal money for drug and alcohol. And so we were thinking, okay, what are the real numbers? How many people do we have?
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
With so many critical issues, the last thing the American people need right now is a government shutdown.
The federal government is set to run out of money this Friday at midnight as lawmakers continue debating 12 annual funding bills. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says failure to reach a deal on those bills by Friday will likely result in a partial government shutdown. Avoiding that shutdown is just one item on Congress's holiday to-do list, which also includes addressing the debt ceiling, voting on President Joe Biden's Build Back Better framework, and adopting the 2022 National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA. The NDAA, which establishes guidelines and priorities for defense spending, passed the House in September. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell expressed concerns about the proposal.
The bipartisan National Defense Strategy Commission has made clear we cannot shortchange our military modernization and have a prayer of competing with the People's Republic of China or even the declining but dangerous Russian Republic.
Talks to revive the 2015 Iran nuclear deal resumed in Vienna Monday. Discussions between Iran, Russia, China, France, Germany, and Britain have been on hold for 6 months. The Trump administration dropped out of the agreement in 2018, which is why the U.S. wasn't directly included in the talks. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. is looking to return to the negotiating table in the future.
This is the best available option to restrict Iran's nuclear program and provide a platform to address Iran's destabilizing conduct.
Among other things, the original deal lifted economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for limits on their nuclear program. A House committee tasked with investigating the January 6th insurrection plans to charge another former Trump official with contempt of Congress. The New York Times reports the committee is pushing forward with charges against Jeffrey Clark, a former official in the Department of Justice. Jack Dorsey is stepping down as the CEO of Twitter, the social media company he co-founded in 2006. Twitter has come under scrutiny in recent years as Democrats say the site has failed to address misinformation and hate speech, while Republicans accused the company of censoring conservative voices. Dorsey told a House subcommittee in March the company's moderation efforts are constantly evolving.
We believe in free debate and conversation to find the truth. At the same time, we must balance that with our desire to, for our service not to be used to sow confusion, division, or destruction.
Carrie Meek, a former congresswoman from Florida, died this past Sunday at 95. Meek, the granddaughter of a slave and the child of a sharecropper, held office from 1993 to 2003. She was one of the first Black Floridians to serve in Congress since Reconstruction in the 1870s. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here's a little bit of President Joe Biden on Monday, November 29th, talking about the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and what it might mean for the United States. It was first discovered last week in South Africa.
And to their credit, the scientific community in South Africa quickly notified the world of the emergence of this new variant. This kind of transparency is to be encouraged and applauded because it increases our ability to respond quickly to any new threats. And that's exactly what we did. The very day the World Health Organization identified the new variant, I took immediate steps to restrict travel from countries in Southern Africa. But while we have that travel restrictions can slow the speed of Omicron, it cannot prevent it. But here's what it does. It gives us time gives us time to take more actions, to move quicker, to make sure people understand you have to get your vaccine. You have to get the shot. You have to get the booster. If you're the sooner or later, we're going to see cases of this new variant here in the United States. We'll have to face this new threat just as we face those that come before it. Today, there are three messages about the new variant that I want the American people to hear. First, this variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. We have the best vaccine in the world, the best medicines, the best scientists, and we're learning more every single day. And we'll fight this variant with scientific and knowledgeable actions and speed, not chaos and confusion. We have more tools today to fight the variant than we've ever had before, from vaccines to boosters to vaccines for children 5 years and older, and much more. A year ago, America was floundering against the first variant of COVID. We beat that variant significantly, and then we got hit by a far more powerful threat, the Delta variant. But we took action, and now we're seeing deaths from Delta come down. We'll fight the, you know, and look, we're going to fight and beat this new variant as well. We're learning more about this new variant every single day. And as we learn more, we're going to share that information with the American people candidly and promptly. Second, the best protection, I know you're tired of hearing me say this, the best protection against this new variant or any of the variants out there, the ones we've been dealing with already, is getting fully vaccinated and getting a booster shot. Most Americans are fully vaccinated, but not yet boosted. If you're 18 years or over and got fully vaccinated before June the 1st, go get the booster shot today. They're free, and they're available at 80,000 locations coast to coast. A fully vaccinated booster person is the most protected against COVID. Do not wait. Go get your booster if it's time for you to do so. And if you are not vaccinated, now's the time to get vaccinated and take your children to be vaccinated. Every child age 5 or older can get safe, effective vaccines now. While it will be a few weeks before we know everything we need to know about how strongly the existing vaccines protect against the new variant, Dr. Fauci is with me today of our medical team, and believe that the vaccines will continue to provide a degree of protection against severe disease. And as additional protections, please wear your mask when you're indoors, in public settings, around other people. It protects you. It protects those around you. Third, in the event, hopefully unlikely, that updated vaccinations or boosters are needed to respond to this new variant, we will accelerate their development and deployment with every available tool.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
You've tuned into all sorts of creative community radio on Tuesday, November 30th at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. We'll hear from Columbia County poet Karen Schomer, some of her poetry, some of her music from her band Sky Furrows, on St. Rocco's broadcast for The Dispossessed from Alex Baggett in Albany. 11 a.m., we'll hear from Pauline Oliveros, the legendary Hudson Valley composer. Also, Thorsten Hawkson, Arnie Melnes, among others, are featured on the Early Electro Mix show at WGXC. Then we'll hear new music after the local news at noon from Riley Walker, Kate LeBon, Endless Boogie, and others. Hop Labonte explains about urban composting at 6 p.m. on the All Together Now show. And Sam Sebrins from Athens hosts the Nothing Is Real radio hour at 7 p.m. Then at 8 p.m. on All Mixed Up, tune in to Spike Jones, David Frischberg, Warren Zevon, and others on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Here's Joshua Abrams and Natural Information Society with In Memory's Prism from their 2019 release, Mandatory Reality.